Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Life goes on day after day.
That's Jerry and the Pacemakers bringing us back. That's Jerry with a G. 17 till, I'm Jim Blasingame. Thank you very much. That's Jim with a J. Rich with an R is our good friend. Rich Gaydon is here. Rich is the publisher and the writer and the chief accountant over at Mullings.com. That's the thrice weekly cyber column that I encourage you to check out. He's of the Republican persuasion, folks. So as a political operative, so when you subscribe, you're going to want to, because if you're a Republican, see what he says, and if you're a Democrat, you want to see what he's up to. Rich, thanks again for hanging out with us. We're glad you're back from your trip in Morocco, just in time to oversee what, according to President Obama, will be the collapse of Western civilization.
Yeah, right? I was a city councilman in Marietta, Ohio, 45750, 100 years ago. And I was the chairman of the police and fire committee. This is a seven-person
That's
city
frightening.
Council. I know. You think you were scared. Think about being a cop. But at one point, I wrote about this, and I said, you know, the one thing that Al Gore and I have in common is that we both, if we tell a story long enough, we think it actually happened, even if we made it up in the
first place.
That's
called availability cascade.
Yes, I'm not exactly sure that this happened, but I've been telling the story long enough, and it makes the point. So it comes to the point where we're negotiating with the fire department, and they want more money, of course, and we're looking and looking. And, you know, so the question comes up, what happens if you don't get it? And, of course, what they said was, well, they would have to stop providing ambulance service.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I was actually a pretty good councilman. We only met once every 2 weeks, but actually did the work. And I had read through the budget, and I said, well, what if we did this? What if, instead of the first thing we cut out being ambulance service, what if the first thing we cut out is this line item to refelt the pool tables? And why don't we do that first and see what happens?
Oh, make intelligent decisions about how.
Yeah, well, that's right. But the theory is that when you're negotiating these sorts of things, and we're seeing it this week, and it's going to get worse, is that you make the worst possible case to sound like it's the most probable case,
right,
even though it's not likely to happen.
Right. 400,000 teachers could be laid off, according to Mr.
Well,
Obama.
I suppose that's possible. But it's not likely because the school districts have, you know, school districts don't rely on federal funds totally to pay their teachers.
That's
and
the
frankly,
thing that I couldn't
school districts
out.
They shouldn't rely on federal funds at all.
At all. So sequester, let's remind people, sequester is an invention it's a political invention. It doesn't really exist in nature.
No.
Anywhere. It was created out of Washington with it's my understanding that the current nominee for Treasury, Jack Lew, is the father,
of
sequester.
Well, that's according to Bob Woodward, who now, according to the White House, is a tool of the right wing of the Republican Party.
Yeah, he's been on Fox News way too much.
Yeah, that's right.
But anyway, so seriously, so Mr. Lew is now, folks, that tips your hand. That tips their hand in terms of what kind of political person this new Secretary of the Treasury is going to be. But as we talked about last hour, so we got this sequester, which the president accepted, signed off on. The members of Congress, enough of them accepted it, right?
Oh yeah, no, it's a law.
Yeah.
The Congress had to pass it, and the president had to sign that law.
And this law is to do what?
It is automatic. It's not like we're cutting 50% of the budget. It's 2.3% of the total federal budget. Now, I think if they could redo it, they would have given the departments a little more leeway. But that's, you know, this is what they voted on.
And it's also prorated over the rest of the year.
Well, that's at issue, I think. But it's not. I mean, it's not like Friday morning they're going to cut $85 billion out of the.
But that's not the way the White
budget.
House makes it sound.
Oh no, it is. They have to cut that. They have to cut $85 billion. Out of a $6 trillion budget, over the fiscal year ends on September 30th. So mm-hmm. they've got to reduce spending by that much. But you know, if you or I had to reduce our spending by 2.3% over the next 7 months, we could probably do it without too much disruption.
But let me ask you this question, Rich: isn't that about the same amount of money that came out of our pockets beginning January 1 when the payroll tax went back up.
Yeah,
I mean, we found a way to survive that. Why can't the government take care of 2% of their
That's exactly what people are saying. Why? I mean, I think when I talk to people outside, actually some Democrats in the green room, and we've talked about this before. I'm going to write a book someday called Green Room Honesty. But people are saying, you know what? If this is the only way we can get these guys' attention to act like grown-ups, then let the sequester go in. Let them suffer with it. Let the Congress has to cut. They can't cut. They can't cut congressional salaries. That's unconstitutional. But they can certainly cut staff salaries.
Isn't that kind of the Republican position right now?
Yeah, it is, and I think that's what they're going to do.
So that's what the Republicans are going to do. The president, though, he's out there talking compromise while he's calling them names, and espousing Armageddon. But what is actually going to happen? Who's going to wind up being the loser on this?
I think they all will. I think that if it's possible for the Congress, the Congress approval rating is at 16%, which sounds horrible. The last August it was at 12%.
But you've got to divide Congress up into
House
three groups. Actually multiples. You got Congress, then you got the Senate and the House, and then you got the Democrats and Republicans on each side.
Yeah, but when it suits the president's purposes, he lumps them all together.
But right now, he's blaming the House Republicans, right?
Yeah, because he can't blame Harry Reid, the Democratic majority leader in the Senate.
Right. So is it possible, though, it seems to me that everything the president does these days is to affect the 2014 congressional election?
Well, I don't know about that. I think it's more to affect his legacy moving forward. I don't think he cares what happens. If he cared about it, he wouldn't have made those Democrats swallow Obamacare in 2009 and 10.
So basically, you think we really shouldn't worry too much about sequester happening?
No, I don't think we should. I think it'll come and everybody go, oh,
it'll be like,
that
almost
happened.
Like Y2K, maybe, something like that. Hold on to that thought. Right back with Rich Gaydon. 10 till, I'm Jim Blasingame. Stay with you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.